It's time to talk football.
Back to pass, throws, it's caught. 10, 5, end zone, touchdown! 43-28 Ottawa!
And he sacked again at the 35. They get 5 sacks today for Ottawa. Hold is down, kick is up, and it is good!
Welcome to the Ottawa Red Blacks radio show on TSN 1200. Our weekly look at the Red Blacks and the Canadian Football League. A review of last week's game and a look ahead at this week's matchup. Along with the people, personalities, and all the great stories from around the CFL. Now, here's your host, Lee Versage.
Good evening and welcome to the Ottawa Red Blacks radio show here on TSN 1200. Happy to be with you on a Tuesday evening here in the nation's capital and with the Ottawa Red Blacks on a bye week this week as they will, quite frankly, lick their wounds a little bit after losing to the Calgary Stampeders by a score of 17-3 on Friday night, and it was an absolutely gorgeous night at TD Place at Lansdowne. Ottawa coming off that victory in Toronto against the Argonauts last Sunday, and were really looking to put something together. Unfortunately, they could not. Not too often you have a football game in which your defense does not allow an offensive touchdown, and you are never in the football game. And that's what happened, unfortunately, on Friday night. And just think about this. Before I get to Ottawa's numbers here, Bo Levi Mitchell in the game. You're thinking, okay, if you can hold Bo Levi Mitchell, here's his stat line. 13 for 27, 137 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. If that's what Bo Levi Mitchell's doing, you're probably going to win, right? Well, not so much. Unfortunately, it was a very tough night for the offense. The defense was outstanding in this game, but Caleb Evans, 10 for 21 for just 66 yards and an interception. Nick Arbuckle came in midway through the third quarter. He had to start launching the ball left and right because they were down by a lot. 17 for 23, 186 yards, 2 interceptions for Nick Arbuckle. One at the very end of the game, but one was not good. Caleb Evans was not good. And the defense just kept keeping this team in the game, in the game. They were able to turn the ball over a couple of times from the Calgary Stampeders' point of view and give the offense every chance to be able to be in this game. Unfortunately, Ottawa turned the ball over 5 times in this football game, and it's just not a winning combination, unfortunately. So they lose 17-3 to Calgary, and here is the coach, Paul Appelese, after the game with AJ Jakubek.
Coach, another tough home loss. How did this one look from your vantage point tonight?
Well, I thought our defense played their hearts out, did a good job keeping them off balance. We had a miscommunication and a receiver stopped running and turned into an interception for a touchdown. And, you know, in a tight game, you can't do that. And I don't know how many turnovers we had, but we had a bunch in score zone, right, in position to kick field goals, at least kick field goals. And, you know, they played better than us, and we didn't have an answer offensively.
Beyond the turnovers, what needs to be better from the offense?
We got to stay on the field, right? They're a good defensive unit, but we weren't able to create first downs and stay on the football field.
What did you think of what you saw tonight from Nick Arbuckle?
Yeah, you know, I thought he got through his progressions and through some completions and everything. He's got to make better decisions with the ball. He's got to protect the ball at times better. But he moved the ball well, and, you know, we'll take the bye to sort out and figure, you know, we got to figure out what our offensive identity is going to be.
And with that, any idea, or do you take the bye to determine who your starting quarterback will be against Edmonton?
Yeah, we'll keep working through that and sort out and see the tape.
So there's head coach Paul Appelese after the game, clearly frustrated and disappointed with the effort. If there's any good news at all, It has to be the fact that Winnipeg beat Montreal last week 35-20. The Argos with a 34-20 victory over Hamilton. So here's how the East looks. Toronto way out in front at 4-3. But then Hamilton and Montreal at 2-6 and Ottawa at 1-7. So really, Ottawa one game back of a playoff spot. And I know that is not what people necessarily want to hear. Those are the facts right now. But Ottawa's going to have to sort out a lot here on the bye week and get themselves in order before they can start thinking about anything else. And, you know, that's a tough haul here for the Red Blacks. And they're going to get some time to think about it because they're off this week. They'll start preparing next week for the Edmonton Elks, that game on August the 19th. And then they'll go back to Edmonton on August the 27th. So what goes on during the bye week? What is the management group thinking, from Oseg to Sean Burke to Paul Laplace, on how to fix this? Because right now, it's not just losing football games. It's doing it in a fashion that's not very entertaining, and that game is hard to watch. So can they fix it? They have some time to be able to do that, and they have a lot of Eastern opponents in front of them as well. So still time to figure this out, but time starts to get much shorter once they got back playing next week. But one of the things that they did on Friday night, which was fantastic, was honor the 2016 Ottawa Red Blacks Grey Cup championship team. And one of the guys that was there, of course, on the team and came back into Ottawa was Sir Vincent Rogers. Sir V going to join us as well. JP Bolduc, who just welcomed a newborn into the world last week. And he'll join us to talk a little CFL, a little fatherhood as well. So both of those interviews still to come, and we'll go through a little bit of what happened in the CFL last week. We mentioned some of the scores, but the story of the week, once again, was Nathan Rourke, the quarterback and the Canadian from the BC Lions. One of the historic stat lines that we've seen in a very long time. Nathan Rourke just keeps doing it at the helm of the BC Lions. So we'll talk more about that as well. JP Bolduc at the bottom of the hour, but coming up next, he was part of that Grey Cup team and a fixture here in Ottawa on the offensive line. Sir Vincent Rogers joins us next on the Ottawa Red Blacks Radio Show on TSN 1200.
You're listening to the Ottawa Red Blacks Radio Show on the official home of the Ottawa Red Blacks, TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the Ottawa Red Blacks Radio Show here on TSN 1200. As I mentioned in the previous segment, not a lot of great things going on Friday night on the field, but one of the spectacular things that did happen was the honoring of the 2016 Grey Cup champion team. And to see some faces, to have some guys come back, and I'm sure for them, just to be able to catch up with some old friends and relive some of the memories that led to that Grey Cup championship in 2016, really was one of the highlights of the night. And maybe selfishly, I miss talking to Sir Vincent Rogers. So what do we do now? We bring Sir Vincent Rogers on the Ottawa Red Blacks Radio Show. Sir V, my man. How are you? I can't believe I missed you when you were in town.
Lee, what's up, man? I was wondering where you was hiding out at, man. I didn't see you. Saw a lot of people, got a chance to catch a lot of people, but I did not get to see my guy.
Well, I had a lot to break down on Friday night. Unfortunately, not a lot to break down on the football field. One of the best things, like I said, that happened was the honoring of that championship. Unfortunately, the game didn't go very well. But first of all, for you, how are you? Like, how is Sir V now in life away from football?
Man, I'm honestly doing good. Transitioning into coaching now. Gonna start at the junior high level. I think initially I was gonna probably, you know, do high school. Selfishly, I just wanted, you know, career wise and coaching, I wanted to start in high school. I felt like it would be a good start, and I'd still be able to be hands-on with my kids. But I think junior high ended up being what was best to balance things out for my family. And so I'm in it, man, and I think it's gonna be a good year. I think I'm gonna have some fun. Hopefully I can impact these kids.
That's fantastic. So what exactly are you going to be coaching? Like a position? Are you going to be something more than that? Is this in your hometown where you're living? Like, give us some details.
Yeah, so, you know, I had some opportunities in coaching and some things that I wanted to pursue, but it would have stretched me thinner than I would like. One thing, in retiring from football, I wanted to be more present with my family and have time with my family. I've spent half the year away in Canada for a decade, so just wanted to have some time with them. And so things weren't going to align how I wanted them to, as far as like we pursuing a coaching career and having that time. And I elected to make a sacrifice and career wise to have more time with my family. And now it's seeming like it's not really a sacrifice. It's something that I feel like I'm going to be fulfilled. We had convocation today and it just lit me on fire about the opportunity ahead. And, man, I'm just hopeful that I, like I said, can impact these kids, and I'm closer. My commute is not, I'm able to, you know, still be present with my family, so everything kind of worked out perfect.
Well, that's fantastic news for you. Is it tough to teach little kids how to pancake people? Like, that was your best quality, right? Just pancake them at the line of scrimmage.
Honestly, I don't know yet. I've yet to really, you know, I did some, did a camp this summer where we were working with some junior high kids. And I think you just have to slow down and be patient with them and understand that they're not pros yet, and kind of taper back the expectations. But I did see kids develop in a 3-day camp and get better. And so I'm just hopeful, like I said, that I can impact them. I think I will be able to. But the biggest thing is just being patient and understanding that they're not where they will end up. And so I'm just trying to take it away day at a time with that. But other than that, man, I'm excited. I think it'll be fun.
Is it difficult not playing anymore?
No, it is not. Physically, no. I'm beat up, man. That was kind of my reason. I always wanted to exhaust myself with football so I would never look back and have regrets or want to keep playing. And I can say physically, I exhausted myself. I don't have one rep left without probably having to have a surgery if I took one more rep. And so I'm in that aspect, I'm good. Being there at the game on Friday, you do atmosphere. But to be in the atmosphere from a spectator standpoint, that was just fun for me. To just watch and not have to hit anybody finally. You know, it was cool. I think I'm good. I'm hoping to play any more football. I've exhausted that chapter of my life, and I'm excited about this new journey.
So tell us about coming back. I know you signed a 1-day contract to retire in Ottawa Red Black, but to come back and kind of be a part of, you know, the experience at TD Place and watch it from afar and have your team be honored. Some of the guys came back as well that you got to see. What was that like for you, just thinking about coming back and then reliving some of the memories that you have with this team?
It was a cool experience. I was excited they invited me back, and also that, you know, the dates worked out so I could come back. But the Red Blacks, you know, they rolled out the red carpet for us. They, you know, they celebrated us. They accommodated us. They made it about, you know, about our team. It's fun getting back with the guys and talking about memories and things like that. I was excited to be in that atmosphere. It was something that I was hopeful that we would get some video footage or some pictures or something just so my kids could see, you know, I guess the fruits of the labor. Just what we did as a team, how we were able to come together in a year that didn't look like things were going to go well. And to come together at the end of the year and us to, you know, wind up in the Grey Cup, let's winning it in the fashion that we wanted. So with E-Jack making that catch in overtime, it was one of those special moments. I think we were able to get together and relive some of that energy, and it was just a fun night. I was hopeful that the guys are going to be motivated and get the win, but I think what they're going through right now is, you know, it's one of those things where you just have to keep pushing and keep trying to gel and find that camaraderie together. and not about what's going on outside, because I think once you start getting those losses in a row, you tend to hear what's going on outside, and then that energy sometimes can creep in. And so even when you're in those close games that are winnable, sometimes you're unable to, like, get over that hump, and it's like that energy just suppresses a winning environment. But I believe they can get it together, and I'm hopeful that they will get it together. And before it's too late, because the East, we know it's still pretty much wide open. It's not, you know, nobody's really cemented themselves as the king of the East. So we know how that can go.
Nothing like being 1-7, Sir V, and being one game out of second place and one game out of that that second place spot that gets you a home playoff game.
That's what I'm saying, man. I mean, nobody would have. I don't think anybody picked us to win the Grey Cup in 2016.
Yeah.
We were, what, 8-9-1 in that regular season, and nobody knew we were going to catch fire like that. But it's just a testament to the guys we had in that locker room. We had a resilient team, overcame a lot of injuries that year, and things just came together at the right time.
Sir Vincent Rogers, former Ottawa Red Black, and was here for the honoring of the 2016 Grey Cup Championship team, joining us here on the Ottawa Red Blacks radio show. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that year in a second, but I do want to go back to 2015 and you coming to Ottawa, and you were part of kind of a new crew after the initial year of football here in the city. A lot of new names came in, and a lot of people talk about the receivers, right? And Ernest Jackson and Chris Williams and Greg Ellingson and Brad Sinopoli. But you were a huge part of that as well. You won the CFL's Most Outstanding Lineman in 2015. What was your take on that season? Second and 25, one of the biggest plays that's ever happened here in Ottawa in any sport. And just going through that as, and I know you lost the Grey Cup, and that had to be tough, but that season seemed to be a springboard into what you accomplished in 2016.
I think that year was a special year. I don't, you know, I can't think of many times that you assemble a team like that, all of us, and things come together so quickly. But I think, you know, probably had the most wins in the regular season in my time at Ottawa in 2015. And it just seemed like we just had one of those juggernaut teams that was destined for the Grey Cup. For me, man, coming over from Toronto, I just kind of wanted to come over and be gritty and just, you know, kind of that grit and grind mindset, be tough and just kind of bring that to the team that wasn't present already. But I think going out of my way to establish that in my play, I could see it catch fire with a lot of the guys around me. And so as a team collectively, we played with that grit and we played tough. I think that kind of, you know, got us through the whole year. And when we got, you know, to the second round of the playoffs and Greg makes that catch over the DB, gets to the end zone, I think that's just a testament of how we all came together and just grinded that year, because I don't think we won a game season that year. I remember guys in guys' eyes and seeing that. I was like, oh, man, 2014 all over again. And I just remember after one of the preseason games telling guys, like, look, man, hold on. This is preseason. Let's not, you know, put too much weight on this, but let's go back to work and let's keep grinding and, you know, let's just take this a game at a time. You know, let's not dwell on that negative energy from last year. And that seemed to kind of spring up the season with the right set, man. And, you know, we end up ultimately getting to the Grey Cup and pretty much three-fourths of that Grey Cup. I'd say we were probably leading up until, like, the last 3 minutes. And it was fortunate cause and some things that didn't go our way in that cup. And we had some opportunities that we didn't capitalize on, but yeah, I think that season was a special group of guys and a special team that did kind of catapult us into who would be the Grey Cup year in 2016.
So tell us about 2016 in the regular season. You mentioned you went 8-9-1, and this has been a problem in Ottawa for a long time. You went 2-6-1 at home. This team has always had trouble winning at home. So when you were going through that year, when did you start to believe that you could do something special? Because I'm sure it wasn't exactly right away with the way that you guys played at home and ending up 8-9-1 in the regular season.
Well, I think coming off of, you know, how close we were in the 2015 Grey Cup and that season and the fashion in which we dominated the regular season and getting to that Grey Cup, I think the confidence was there, at least with four guys. We did deal with a lot of injuries in 2016. I think Hank started that year and was injured and he missed some games. And, you know, Trevor was playing and it was, you know, just trying to get a feel of who was out there. We dealt with a lot of injuries. I broke my lower leg late in that season and was trying to, you know, had surgery and was trying to make a comeback for the cup and was probably closer than most people knew. But I wasn't able to play in that Grey Cup. But I just think we dealt with a lot of adversity in 2016. And I also think from getting to the Grey Cup and being as competitive as we were, being a year removed from 2014, it was that confidence that, you know, in 2016 we knew we could still get to the Grey Cup. And I think we kind of turned it on late and probably later we should have worked out. And I think we came together at the right time and we just started gelling at the right time. Once we hit that groove, we just kind of rode it all the way to the Grey Cup, man. And it was a fun.
What was it like for you to get hurt? As you mentioned, you broke your leg, you're trying to come back. To watch from the sidelines, you did stick around. Some guys would have gone home. You stuck around during that time and, you know, tried to support this team, and that's what good teammates do. So what was it like for you to watch the journey, be a part of the big year in 2015 and obviously be a part of some of the season of 2016, but then when you got hurt, to watch from the sidelines?
I think being a leader on that team, or just being a leader in general, it comes a time where, you know, you have to make sacrifices. And I think that was one of those times where I made sacrifices with my family to honor my responsibility to my teammates, to rush and have surgery and really rehab and see if I could get back playoff run. That's the confidence I had, the team that we had. And so, you know, me not going home and not leaving was believing in us, and also, you know, wanting to be there and be that moral support leader to show the guys, like, I'm physically out there with you guys, but I'm still here with you guys, and I'm still trying to be back as soon as possible. This isn't one of those things where I'm just mailing it in because of this freak accident. And I still give Sean Lemon a hard time right today. I still do, because, you know, he was pass rushing from the other side on the right tackle and just stumbled, missing a sack, and it was a freak accident, man. But I think everything happened for a reason. I think I grew a bit as a leader, having to channel all of that frustration and not being able to affect the team with my play. I think right before that Grey Cup game in 2016, I remember talking to the team and just expressing to them that, hey, man, we are going to go out and win this game. Calgary is a favorite, but that doesn't matter. We're going to take this, you know, a play at a time, and we will come back in this locker room victorious. And I remember looking in all of those guys' eyes and just seeing the level of focus. And, you know, it wasn't one of those pep talks where, like, you're the guy trying to create emotion that isn't there. I think all of those guys looked me in the eye and believed that everything I was saying was true. And then they went out and they proved it. And I was just there, you know, to support. So that was a moment as a leader as well, just learning to lead in a different aspect. But it's just one of those memories and one of those teams that I'll never forget, things that will stick with me for the rest of my life that hopefully I'll be able to utilize on this new journey.
So what was it like coming back and reliving that with some of the guys? Maybe tell us who else you had a chance to talk to while you were here. And also, was it difficult for you to get on the plane afterwards? Because I'm sure it's gone through your mind, like, when's the next time I'm going to be back in Ottawa?
It was fun. It was definitely fun getting with the guys, man. Nolan McMillan and I, you know, we talked. A lot of people don't know, but I tell you a story. When I first got to Ottawa, I was wearing 66 in Toronto. And so I came and I went to the equipment guy, went to RJ, and I was like, hey, you know, is 66 available? He's like, well, no, Nolan McMillan wears 66. He was, you know, the first guy we drafted here. And I was like, dang, man. He was like, you know, you can talk to him, see if he's willing to trade. And, you know how well everyone knows Nolan. It wasn't a good idea, but RJ came kind of threw it out there, and I jumped at it, and I remember going to Nolan and asking, and he was so offended by it. And so, to me, it seemed like it was friction early in the season between him and I. You know, I could tell he was offended by me even asking. But that season, man, it got to a point in that season where we ended up getting very, very cool, and we had some conversations over time, man, and still to this day, I love that guy to death, and we were talking about that moment. We laughed and had a beer at the game, just talking about that moment and just how funny it was in hindsight, just looking at that moment, because he was so offended. And for me, it wasn't about offending him. I think I was just kind of fixated on having that same number, but he told me this past weekend, well, it worked out for you. Like, you ended up with 55, and I think you've done well in that number. But we just kind of laughed it off, man. But those were the moments that, you know, we look back on, and it was great times. And it's just so much that happens in the season that leads to the success or the failure that you have that you can pinpoint and look back to. And it was just good getting with those guys and just talking a lot of the things that happened, you know, behind the scenes that the fans don't get to see. And for us to come out victorious and be on top at the end of a season like that, it just, I think it spoke to the grit that we had with that team.
You still watch from afar? Do you have time to watch some of the games?
Absolutely. I'm definitely trying to catch every game. You know, I'll miss a game or two here and there, but we got to say, I'll probably get to probably watch one or two games at least. And on a good, you know, good week, I'll catch three or four games. But definitely still in tune with the game. I like to watch some of the guys that were playing that are in the league the same time as me. Spoke to Darvin Adams while I was at the game. He and I were in Toronto at the same time before I ever even came over to before he ever was in Winnipeg. And I just like, man, keep going. It's good to see you still playing. You know, we started this journey together, so you know, it's good to see that you're still doing it, you know, doing it at a high level. But I like to see the guys and see the new guys that are coming and going to be the new face in the league. It's just cool to, you know, see the league continuing to move on because, you know, you come in, you impact the game, and you would like to think you made your mark. And then every year is going to be more guys that come to the same thing. So I'm just fixated seeing who those new emerging guys are who, you know, is similar to the players from our era or, you know, the comparisons that they make. I've really been trying to catch the BC games. I'm really thrilled about how well this Canadian quarterback is playing. I've seen him and I was hearing the hype, but in seeing him play myself, I'm like, okay, this kid is that good. You know, it's not just hype. So just things like that. I'm always excited every week to try to catch a game just to see what's going on from afar.
Yeah, Nathan Rourke has been incredible. As you have, with the impact that you made here, you retired in Ottawa Red Black, and, you know, people are going through a tough time with the football right now, but they look back to that time and you have no idea, I think, how much you and a lot of people who were involved in that team have impacted football in this city. It was 40 years in the making, a championship between championships, and for you and a lot of guys to come back and be honored, it was fantastic to see you, and great to be able to catch up. How are our Cowboys looking before we go?
I think, you know, man,
Don't be negative.
Lee, I'm hesitant to have this conversation because I feel like every year we come with this excitement. And I think we do us a disservice. As fans, we do our team a disservice. But I will say we're probably going to enter the season healthier than we typically have, at least so far anyway. If we can get through the preseason, I think fairly intact. I think we'll have an opportunity to, you know, win our division again, which I think then will still give us an opportunity to get in the playoffs, and, you know, anything can happen in the playoffs. So I like to first start off with dominating our division. I just hope that we can do that. The division got better. Philly, you know, they added a receiver. The Giants, you know, I think Saquon Barkley, and they have some younger skill guys that they're hopeful will impact the game. So I'm just hoping that we can win our division and make an impact on the division first and foremost. And I'll start there and leave
Well,
it there.
at least here, too, we have Neville Gallimore that is from Ottawa and, of course, plays in the Dallas Cowboys. And now bringing Brett Maher back to compete with Liam Hirilahu two Canadian kickers. One of them is going to be the kicker of the Cowboys. So, there's some Canadian content and some Ottawa content down with Dallas. Servi, always so great to catch up. Hopefully you and I can do this soon, but we appreciate you coming back on the Ottawa Red Blacks radio show.
Absolutely, Lee, man. Hey, thanks for having me. We need to put pressure on the Red Blacks to go ahead and the 10-year union when it comes up and get that whole 2016 band back together. So we'll work on it and we'll see if we can bring that into fruition. Put that out there. Good energy.
All right. Fantastic. Great to catch up. Thank you.
All right. You guys have a good one.
Servins at Rogers, the Ottawa Red Blacks radio show. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we will talk to former Ottawa Red Black, J.P. Bolduc, who was not there, unfortunately, on Friday night, but he had a good reason why. So we'll talk to him next here on the Ottawa Red Blacks radio show on TSN 1200.
You're listening to the Ottawa Red Blacks radio show on the official home of the Ottawa Red Blacks, TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the Ottawa Red Blacks radio show here on TSN 1200. Let's get to our next guest. He's been a regular here on TSN 1200. I thought for a second that he was going to be mad that we didn't call him last Friday on the drive, and that's because I was hosting mornings, and he probably didn't get to be on the drive, but I think he was busy doing a couple of things last week. J.P. Bolduc joining us on the Ottawa Red Blacks radio show. I hear you've been busy. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. Yes, indeed. I've been very busy.
Well, tell us exactly why you have been so busy and the incredible news.
Yeah. So my wife gave birth to our son, Lucas, last Thursday afternoon. So our first child for us, amazing Lucas, came waited at 9 pounds and 5 ounces. So maybe a future O-lineman in the making.
Maybe. 9 pounds, 5 ounces. Okay. <Yeah. laughs> Let's go. Congratulations. I'm sure life-changing for you. That happened last week. You probably haven't had much sleep, but what you've had is one of the greatest gifts ever. What has that been like for you to have this experience with you and your wife?
It was amazing. She's a lot tougher than me. She's amazing. She was so in control. Even all the nurses were impressed. Like she is in control, calm, and it took her only an hour and a half. So she's a healthy baby, healthy wife. We were back home the next day. It was an amazing experience. A lot more emotional than winning the Grey Cup and all that stuff. I couldn't stop crying for a few hours, but. First night we watched some football together. We sat in a room and we watched the Alouettes. And the next on the Friday night, Lucas and I, when he was up at night, we watched the CFL, the Red Blacks against the Stampeders. So I started in young.
Don't make me make the joke of, you know, watching Montreal on Thursday night, the first day that Lucas is in this world, and then the Red Blacks the next day, probably helped him sleep.
I wish.
I'm including Montreal in there too. Awesome. And what is that like to watch, you know, I'm sure for you, but you know, to watch your wife go through this and, as you said, to kind of be in control. Everyone who, you know, we've ever talked to, you probably don't understand until you watch it in action how tough they are, women going through something like this and coming out on the other side. It's just an amazing experience.
You're right. You know, it's something that you can't really understand until you're in it. It's, wow, so much respect for my wife and all these women out there. It's crazy what they go through. But I was always impressed by my wife, but now she's a living God for me. Wow, I'm so proud of her.
Well, that's awesome. A lot of people, you know, I'm sure very, very happy for you. So you didn't get a chance to be here for the honoring of that 2016 Grey Cup team on Friday night. Obviously, you had a much bigger and better reason to be able to do that. you know, not everyone walks into the Canadian Football League and just wins a Grey Cup in their first year like you did.
No, it was I was fortunate enough to be at the right place at the right time, and during that season, my role that had evolved into a core special team player into the Grey Cup, which kind of kicked off my career, having a good end of the season in 2016, and to be around some guys. And you look at that roster we had in 2016. Wow, what a team! I don't know how they were able to find all that money for all these players that we had on the roster. But wow, we were a good team. We didn't play always to the level that we were supposed to play, but when it counted, we really stick together, and we played some great football. We had some great coaches, and they were able to get the best out of us. And you know, that's what Rick Campbell does. You know, look at him in BC when he's in control and he knows where he's going, and he can do a great job.
You know, for you to come into the league and be surrounded by, you know, so many veterans really on both sides of the ball, what was it like as a young player coming into the league and being around all of those guys? As you mentioned, 8-9-1 isn't exactly record breaking, but it was enough to give you the division and put yourselves at, you know, in place to have a chance to win the Grey Cup.
No, it was very impressive for me. I was a kid growing up in Montreal, and so it was someone who was close and watched the CFL carefully growing up. I knew most of the players in the league. And I was at the Grey Cup in 2008 in Montreal with my father, where Henry Burris was playing the starting quarterback. So I was aware of who Henry Burris was. So just to be in the same locker room as Henry and him talking to me in the morning, it was the first few weeks. It was calling my father. I'm like, man, it's crazy. Henry Burris talking to me today. It's wow, man. I'm so impressed. And then along the way, becoming, let me say, a friend. We still talk once a year, a few texts here and there. And now I was playing with some guys, Ernest Jackson, Chris Williams, and all these guys on defense. We have Marcel Munoz, and we had Antoine was at the peak of his career. Antoine Pruno was a dominant player in the league. It was really fun to be around all these guys. And we had also some great coaches. You know, we had a good bond, and it's amazing, a good relationship that you don't kind of see that kind of vibe in a team at the pro level, because everybody's kind of, you know, working. They're all small businesses working for themselves, trying to make a living and pay bills and have a career. But that year was kind of special. I joined right after training camp, and two great quarterbacks going back and forth. And no, it was an amazing year. It was Henry's last year, so I think he kind of knew that it was on his last miles. And that was a fun year.
So take us through before the game. You're in Toronto. You're not the favorites in the game. Everyone thought, you know, most people did, that Calgary would probably win the game. So what was it like for you to be in the locker room and understand of what was in front of you on that day in Toronto to try and win a Grey Cup championship?
I mean, when something works in Toronto, it's always big. So that year in 2016, the Grey Cup was kind of a big deal in Toronto, at that new stadium and everything going around, and MLSC getting involved with Argos and the Grey Cup games. It was well covered. It was a lot of people. There was a lot of reporters and journalists that week. So you were able to feel the vibe of a big game. Having to some brand new cups in Quebec City and all that. So I was kind of prepared. But when we drove to that stadium that day before the game, I kind of saw the extensions they had built in the stands for extra seating places. And I was like, okay, wow, this is a big deal. Like, the tailgate party was huge in BMO Field that year in the parking right by the Marley's Arena. And to see some guys like Henry Burris being very focused, and Sir Vincent Rogers, and all these guys, you know, kind of being in the league for so many years and haven't been to a game or a Grey Cup championships once or twice in 10 years, 15, 20 years for a guy like Henry. Probably went three times, I think, in 20 years. So you kind of want to locked in. And the whole week was, for me, when you're in college, like, so committed that you almost drained when the game's there. But that week went so smooth, so well for us. All the meetings, all the media, all that stuff was so smooth for the Red Blacks. The traveling, people having fun, but not too much fun, but just enough, you know, not too serious. I knew we were in a good place, and we were in a play well that game.
So what was it like riding the emotions of that game, getting up big early, watching Calgary drive back? It still looks like you guys are in control, but they recover an onside kick, and it looks like they're going to go down and win the Grey Cup. And then that tackle by Abdul Kenna on Andrew Buckley kind of saved the Grey Cup to go into overtime. Just tell us about the emotion up and down going through that.
It was probably going too fast for me at that time. I was probably too young to understand the whole thing. I was so focused to do my job and to do my responsibility on special teams that game that I, you know, and you asked me that question. I remember being there, but I don't remember much of what was happening other than, oh, wow, we're in overtime. I remember the tackle from Duel. And then next thing is like, whoa, we're overtime. And then all of a sudden, Gerald Gavin's breaking up that pass on third and 15 in overtime, something like that. And then just people running around and throwing their helmets like, oh, okay, that's it, that's done. But I remember not a lot of people panicked on the bench. And that was probably because of Rick, Marcel, Henry, and a guy like Mark Nelson. Leroy Blue, guys they've been there. You know, Leroy Blue played in the CFL for like 20 years. I don't think I've even played 20 seasons all my life. So we had some experienced people that were in control, and we never panicked. I've been on some teams, and when we lost the lead or went back and forth, we kind of blew the game by ourselves because we were panicking and we were getting stressed. But I remember that game, we were very in control. Even though they were coming back, nobody panicked. Nobody pointed fingers. Okay, let's go. Let's do this. Let's do that. We'll figure out a way to kind of stop these concepts on defense, and let's play hard on special teams, and let Henry be Henry, and we'll be fine. No matter, and that's what happened. So I have a fond memory of that game. after the game, it's a different story. I don't remember much of what happened after the game, but it was a good time.
I do in the basement of a hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, I don't remember it was in the basement of the hotel. I remember it was a hotel, but I don't remember what floor. But we had a great time with yeah. You know, the Greenbergs taking really good care of us.
And just to close a thought on that game and that year, was it difficult for you maybe at the time, and have you come to appreciate a little bit more the impact that win had because of what people here in the city had suffered? Really, since the 70s, they hadn't won anything since Tony Gabriel, right? They hadn't been in that position. And for them to witness and get back a Grey Cup championship after 40 years was massive to the people here in Ottawa. How much did you realize at the time, and how much have you kind of let that sink in since that win?
That's a good question. At the time, I understood. But being in a program like Laval, we won every 2 years. So I was like, oh, you know, 19 league. What's the big deal of winning? It's so much fun. Oh, they haven't won in so many years. But seeing the parade and all these people there kind of soaked it in. Like, okay, wow, it's a big deal. It's crazy. It was packed everywhere we went. There's so many people there. So I kind of like noticed that, wow, it's a big deal of what we did. But 2 years ago, I kind of told my wife, I said, wow, and that soaked in when the Habs win the Stanley Cup final, and I really wanted them to win. I was like cheering like I was a kid. I was like, it was so much fun. We had a Stanley Cup parade in Montreal. I could go. I was 3 years old last time they won. I don't remember. Blah, blah, blah. Wow. I was so excited for them. And I said, oh, I looked at Mel and I said, that's kind of how people felt in 2016 when we won the Grey Cup. And that's kind of when it soaked in for me. I'm like, wow, okay. That's how they felt when we won in 16. That's why there were so many people. Mm-hmm. And it kind of took me a few years to understand the feeling of cheering for a team, loving a team in your city, and seeing them win. In any sports, any level, So hopefully the Habs will win in the next few years. But that's kind of what I kind of understood 2 years ago. Like, wow, that was a big deal what we did in 16.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy. I'm sorry to tell you, it will be another long time before the Montreal Canadiens do win again. But, and that's it, right? It's how much hard work went into keeping this franchise alive in different installments of the Rough Riders and the Renegades. The fans have been through a lot, and that team is just so very, very special to a lot of people. Just like Lucas David Bolduc is to you and your wife, Mel. Congratulations, JP. I'm sure life-changing for you. I hope we don't lose you as a CFL analyst regular on the drive, but we do understand you might be busy here in the next couple of weeks.
No, I will always be there for you guys. Thank you very much, my friend Lee. These kind words are very appreciated. Thank you very much again.
Yeah, say congratulations and hi to your wife as well. A lot of people here in Ottawa miss you here in the city, but understand that you're doing very, very well. So congratulations.
Thank you very much, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, there goes J.P. Bolduc, bringing Lucas David Bolduc into the world and reliving some of those memories. Couldn't be here to celebrate on Friday night, but has his own celebration. So that's going to do it for us on the Ottawa Red Blacks radio show. Again, Ottawa on bye this week, so they do not play. Their next game coming up the following Friday, August the 19th, at home. The Edmonton Elks will be in town. Thanks to Matt Conisvita producing this. Thanks to Sir Vincent Rogers joining us earlier, and J.P. Bolduc. I'm Lee Versage. Thanks for listening to the Ottawa Red Blacks radio show on TSN 1200.